Tonight's scripture reading will be from John 8:31-32. John 8:31-32. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free."
This week, we are going to celebrate our country's Independence Day. This is the day, as Americans, we remember the freedom that we have in this country, that freedom to assemble, that freedom of speech, and the freedom of religion. Remember the cost of that freedom. We remember the lives of those individuals who fought for this freedom and defend it down through the years. On July 4th, 1776, was the day that the Declaration of Independence was signed. This marked the fact that we're going to be a new nation that will not be dependent on any other. With this newfound freedom, they were seeking a better life. Likewise, in our lesson tonight, we're going to see the independence from the bondage of sin. The text, as we looked, shows how truth and freedom are united in these verses to show a better life, and how truth and freedom will help us with our relationship with God. You see, you cannot have freedom without truth, and have truth without producing freedom. You may think you have freedom, but if you're not following the truth, then freedom is not there. Following the truth produces freedom from sin, and that's in understanding that sin enslaves us. As we look at the scripture reading, there is three main points that I'm going to bring out tonight: the need for freedom, the truth that frees, and the freedom that truth gives. We see the need for freedom. We must first recognize the bondage. All of us are in or were in the bondage of sin. John 8:34, committing sin makes you a slave to sin. And in Romans 6:16, we are slaves to what we obey. We are either a slave of righteousness or a slave to sin. And we understand that when we are a slave to sin, we see that in Isaiah 59:1-2, that sin separates us from God. Jesus' aim was to free mankind of this bondage of sin. We can never be free from this bondage if we never recognize what our sins do to our spiritual state. That's why we first need to recognize that bondage. Then there's accountability to our bondage. The accountability of the bondage, whether it's, when we think of that, we may think of inherited bondage. From a physical standpoint and perspective, bondage can be most times passed on. And it's passed on from generation to generation. This bondage was passed down for years for the children of Israel. In Acts 7:6-7, if you want to turn there, Stephen was preaching, giving somewhat of a history lesson to those Jews, and he said this: "But God spoke in this way, that his descendants would dwell in a foreign land, and that they would bring them into bondage and oppress them 400 years. And the nation of whom they will be in bondage, I will judge, said God. And after that, they shall come out and serve me in this place." We see in this scripture that this bondage was passed down from generation to generation. And this was a physical bondage that they were under. They were enslaved. And it is key to understand this, that God was close by and knew their physical state. If we'll just go back to Exodus chapter 3, we are all familiar with the scene of Moses before the burning bush. In Exodus chapter 3, we see in verse 7 and 8, God is speaking to Moses, and he said, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cries because of their taskmakers. For I know their sorrows, so I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey." Whenever we look at this scripture, we see that God allowed Saul, and they were was close by, and allowed his people, the children of Israel, to be in bondage. And that bondage was for 400 years. And that was passed down from the first time they were in bondage for generation to generation. People today may suffer physically from the consequences of maybe their parents or from their upraising, or maybe from leaders, or from other people that have maybe authority over them. Types of bondage may be poverty, drugs, alcoholism, indebtedness, and many other types of bondage that we could mention. But we must understand the accountability of bondage. It could be in the physical standpoint that it's inherited, but we must understand the spiritual bondage is not inherited. If you turn to Ezekiel 18 and verse 4, Ezekiel 18 and verse 4, it deals with this, and how we see in verse 4, it says, "Behold, our souls," this is God speaking, "behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father as well, the soul of the Son is mine. The soul who sins shall die." You see, all the souls are God's, and each one is accountable for their sin individually. If it's not passed down from the Father, it's not passed down, doesn't go likewise back to the Father, if the Son sins. In Ezekiel 18, in verse 18, it says, "As for the father, because he cruelly oppressed, robbed his brother by violence, and did what is not good among the people, behold, he shall die for his iniquities. Yet you say, why should the son not bear the guilt of the father? Because the son has done what is lawfully right, and has kept all my statutes and observed them, he shall surely live. But the soul who sins shall die. The son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be open upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. But if a wicked man turns from all of his sins which he has committed, keeps all my statutes, and does what is lawful and right, he shall surely live and not die. None of the transgressions which he has committed shall be remembered against him, because of the righteousness which he has done, he shall live. Do I have pleasure at all that the wicked should die, says the Lord God?" You see, as we look at this, we see that the spiritual bondage is not passed down to the son. It is not inherited. It is not given. Although physical bondage may be, but not spiritual bondage. And we need to understand that, because whenever we look at this, we suffer the consequences of our own individual sin. And it's important that we know that, to make sure we understand that, so that we understand that there is false doctrine regarding that. Yes, Adam sinned, and that sin was the first sin. But we are not inherited his sin or his consequences. We're not living in sin when we are born. Whenever we look and understand this, we understand the person who sin dies. And we come to understand Romans 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death. And God is not pleased. What has to happen to those who sin. He is not pleased with it. We just read in verse 23, he said, "Do I have pleasure at all that the wicked shall die, says the Lord, and not that he should turn from his ways and live?" He has that opportunity to make changes, but yet he does not. And God doesn't take pleasure in what happens to happen. He said in verse 24, "But when the righteous man turns away from his righteousness and commits iniquity and does according to all the abominations that the wicked man does, shall he live? All the righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered because of the unfaithfulness on which he is guilty and the sin which he has committed. Because of them he shall die." As we look and understand these scriptures, we need to understand that we can be free from our sins by doing what is right. But yet, then again, we can turn from doing what is righteous and sin again. We have that problem. We could have that problem in our life. And we'll get into that as we move on here. But it's important to see that God is not pleased with what has to happen to those who are sinful. In Exodus 33 and verse 11, I think it shows the passion of God speaking through Ezekiel. We see in verse 11, it says, "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in death of the wicked, but the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn from your evil ways, for why should you die, O house of Israel?" You see, he is pleading with the children of Israel to turn away from your sins. God doesn't take pleasure in it, but the result of it is that you are in bondage and therefore you must die because of the sins that you've committed and you're held accountable for it. But as we look at our scripture reading, we see the truth that frees. The truth that frees must have first in our minds and our hearts that we crave for this freedom. And when we think of that, we crave for liberty. Liberty from bondage cannot be forced. Eventually, the force will lead back to bondage. Liberty from legislation helps, but it'll eventually turn to be forced. Liberty must come from the desire to have knowledge. You see, truth frees. Truth frees. And Jesus mentioned that here in his John 8 and verse 31. He said, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and that truth shall make you free." But we have the question, what is truth? And we've heard that and many times. Well, that's your version of truth, or that's what you think. Truth in general does not make us free. For example, we see the carpet is red. Well, that is a true and very true statement, but it doesn't set us free. I'm married and I have 5 children. That does not set me free. Truth is not just mere information, because then the wisest people would be the only ones who may be saved from their sins. It's not just information, but it's the truth about, and we're going to look at several different things, but it's the truth about God. God has revealed himself through general and special revelation. In that general revelation, we can go outside and see the creation of this world. We can see how in the evening the sun sets, in the morning it rises. We can see the stars. We can see God's creation, his handiwork displayed for us by so many different things, the times, the seasons, that we can see the handiwork of God. So we must know the truth about God. And God has revealed himself in general revelation. And then we have special revelation where God spoke to man. That is, we see that all through scripture. That's what scripture is. God revealing himself to man. And we have that special revelation. We can have it as a God's breathed word of God. A word that comes from him. And we can from that have knowledge and appreciation of God's word. And we learn the truth about God, and that truth, knowledge and application to God's word is what frees us from the bondage of sin. Jesus said, if, and I want us to really look at that word, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You see, that is an if-then statement. If we understand an if, it's a conditional statement. And that conditional statement means that if we don't abide in Jesus' word, then we will not be the disciples of Christ. But if we do, if we do abide in his words, then we are his disciples. We need to understand that word if. And in that word disciple, it's interesting what the word means, and it's a learner. It is a follower, and that follower, who we are following, is Christ. And we learn the teachings of Christ, and we learn that through the Scripture and how that teaching applies to our life, our lifestyle. And as we understand and learn about what truth is and the truth about God, we also need to know the truth about mankind. And first and foremost, we must know the truth about where we came from and who we are. We understand that through Scripture, we see that we are God's creation. God, we are made in the image of God. And when we think about that and know that for a fact, we know then who we should serve. And we see also the truth about immorality. Sin separates us from God. When we sin, no matter what it is, we are sinning against God. You know, it might be that little lie we told, or maybe that thing we stole from our neighbor, or something we did wrong. You may sin against them, but every sin that we commit is against God. I think if we kind of keep that in our mind and in our heart, that we would maybe, hopefully, strive to sin less each and every day. That each little thing we do, that we're sinning against God. And we understand that sin puts us into bondage. And then we learn the truth of Christ. The truth about Christ is that Jesus is the truth. In John 14 and verse 6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man shall come to the Father except through me." We must learn the truth of Jesus Christ. We must follow his teachings about the truth. And we, being a follower of Christ, need to understand what he taught and how he wants us to apply that to our lives. This is Jesus' teaching on how knowing and following the truth will give us freedom we have from the bondage of sin. We look at the third point is the freedom that truth gives. We may ask, well, what is freedom? From a worldly standpoint, freedom is the power and the right to act, speak, or to think as one wants without hindrance or restraint. Freedom is the fullest opportunity for man to be and to do the very best that it possibly, best he can, possible for himself. We usually think of a better life without restraints. We may have restraints because of debt. So if we have no debt, we're not restrained. Or if we may look at a better life with restraints from government, less restraints from government. If the government didn't make me do that, what a better life I would have. Well, when it comes to our spiritual freedom from the bondage of our personal sins, that is a better life. That is a much better life. Freedom of our sin removes the consequences of our sin. As we talked about in Romans 6 and verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. If you turn there, if we just read that statement, that means the very first sin we committed, we are deserving of death. In Romans chapter 6, we see in verse 17, it says, But thanks be to God, that though we are slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you have become the slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. And when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have in the things which you are now ashamed? For the end of these things is death. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and to the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. As we look and examine that scripture, we understand that the wages of sin is death. We understand that Jesus is a way, the truth, and the life. We understand that Jesus is the truth, and we should follow after it. So what should we do? Praise God. Praise God for what he has done. Praise him that he's given us a way to be reconciled back to him, that we have obeyed that heart, from our heart, that form of doctrine which was delivered. That form of doctrine that we can read in Scripture, that form of doctrine that we have for us to reconcile us back to God. And what happens? That sets us free from the bondage of sin. Although it also binds us to Christ, and we're slaves to righteousness. And when we look at that, what does that enslavement encounter? As we saw, the fruit of it is holiness and everlasting life. You see, that's the truth that frees, the freedom that we have because of Jesus Christ. Though we may find ourselves in a free country, in a worldly sense, this free country is free, but true freedom is only found in Jesus Christ. We must understand that we cannot find and enact on this freedom once. It's not I did what the scripture said that one day, and now I'm going to just go ahead and live however I want the rest of my life. We must continue to live by the standards in which Jesus has set forth for us. To abide in that teaching, to abide in the teachings of Christ. Let me ask you tonight, do you have this true freedom which is found in Christ? Are you faithful? And have you remained faithful? Have you obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you are living in sin or have found yourself wandering away from God, come back. Get your life right with him tonight. Or maybe you're not a Christian. You must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Confess that, repent of your sins, and be baptized for the remission of sins. If we can help you tonight to get your life right with God, please come forward as we stand and as we sing.